Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to the Sheila Zielinski Show. This series is called Secrets of Mind Control, The Mind War Matrix. And today we're going to get into part two. I want to very quickly just say this. Your generosity fuels our ministry. This ministry, just so people are clear, is designed for the purpose of salvation, healing, and deliverance. Equipping the body of Christ. That's the number one focus. When you donate, you are helping spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you're advancing God's kingdom. We've been sustained over the last decade by the generous gifts of God's people, and there are a variety of ways to support our work. Every gift, no matter the size, is needed and appreciated. The last few months have incurred many unforeseen costs. Some of you know I relocated to the United States back at the end of June, beginning of July. And I'm going to tell you, the last few months have incurred a lot of costs because of this relocation. If there was ever a time I need people to really support this ministry, it's now. There's a lot of things coming due, folks, and I'm asking you to please go now and generously give. You can go to the donate page at SheilaZielinski.com. I'm also asking you to become a monthly supporter. One-time donations are incredible and we appreciate them so much, but it is very hard to develop a budget on one-time donations. So I'm asking for your help. Please also become a patron today. And I thank you very much for your support. It is very needed and greatly appreciated. Thank you very much. Well, let's get into The Mind War Matrix, Part 2. This incredible series, again, probably a five-part, Secrets of Mind Control, The Mind War Matrix, Part 2, today. Today, what we're going to start with is the mind control in the church. The Illuminati injected altars in the churches to infiltrate and also take over the seminaries with the School of Frankfurt. Many of these mind-controlled handlers are highly trained in dark arts and astral projection. Also, seminaries essentially became indoctrination centers implementing principles of theosophy. Yes, remember theosophy, the founder, Madame Helena Blavatsky, who was a high-level occultist from Russia? Yes, she co-founded the Theosophical Society in 1875. I recently mentioned her in my four-part series, Green Gospel. Theosophy was adopted by Aleister Crowley, who later founded the religion of Thelema. That's right, Thelema, as in, remember the WikiLeaks with Marina Abramovich and the Podestas? Spirit cooking, need I say more? For more on that, you can go back to other shows that I've done on that. Back to theosophy. Theosophy is Gnosticism, the term derived from the Greek theos, or God, and sophia, wisdom. It's generally understood to mean divine wisdom of sophia. And that stuff all ties back into pantheism, the Ashra, Sophia, Gaia, Maya, Diana, this goddess worship, worshiping the earth. Nature is God, aka Mother Earth. This whole idea of earth as a living divine spirit, which again, I really encourage you to go back and look at my series I did on my book, Green Gospel. It is in the archives. So again, these seminaries are essentially becoming indoctrination centers implementing principles of theosophy. For example, many of Kenneth Hagin's works, Kenneth Hagin Sr., virtually all of the leading American TV ministers have drunk at the trough of the esoteric theosophical speculations of the late E.W. Kenyon. Word faith occultism is what I call it. One of the leading proponents of word faith doctrines, Kenneth Copeland, in his last published book before his death entitled The New Age Cult, Dr. Walter Martin considered Copeland and the faith movement part of the New Age movement. Albert Dagher compares Copeland's doctrines with theosophists and equates positive confession as a tenet of witchcraft. After quoting Yonggi Cho, another word faith teacher, Mark Havel, asks, is this a model for prayer or casting a spell? Word faith theology has turned Christianity into a system no different from the lowest human religions, a form of voodoo, where God can be coerced, cajoled, manipulated, controlled, and exploited for the Christian's own end. In John MacArthur's recent book, Strange Fire, he wrote of the Word Faith movement, "They are promoting crass superstition blended with New Age and false doctrines, purloined from assorted Gnosticism and metaphysical cults cloaked in Christian terms and symbols." In ancient Egypt, the followers of the Egyptian god Thoth, the master of all knowledge and originator of alchemy, believed that thoughts were real things with vibrational and energy levels of their own, which could be manipulated to produce physical effects. In other words, what you think is what you get. You put aside all critical faculties, enter an altered state of consciousness, have faith in your faith, and allow the force to work through you. Nothing shall be withheld from you if only you believe. Herein lies the basis of all occult power. This is how channelers become channelers. This is how occultists develop occultic powers, and how millions of our school children become open to demonic beings. Some of those stressing the power of the mind, faith, or positive thinking include Robert Schuller, Clement Stone, Oral Roberts, and of course a lot of the teachings of Kenneth Hagin and later Kenneth Copeland and others, Paul Yonggi Cho Prosperity Gospel, and Charles Capps, and many others stress positive confession. The terms positive confession, prosperity thinking, theology of success movement, or name it and claim it, are all terms used to describe those stressing the power of faith as a force to influence the environment of God. Word Faith preacher Pat Robertson admits his principles are the same used by occultist Napoleon Hill. Here's a statement from Robertson himself. "I began to realize the Bible is not an impractical book of theology, but rather a practical book of life containing a system of thought and conduct that will guarantee success with principles so universal they might better be considered as laws. Such people as Napoleon Hill, who wrote Think and Grow Rich, have gleaned only a few of the truths of the kingdom of God. Some of the metaphysical principles of the kingdom taken by themselves can produce fantastic temporal benefit." Wait, did he just say Napoleon Hill, as in the high-level occultist who learned his metaphysical principle from demons, as in who came to him from the spirit world posing as masters of a temple of wisdom? Peel, Schuller, Robertson, Hagin, Copeland, and many others have brought into the church ancient occultism as part of the signs and wonders and prosperity movement foretold for the last days. Folks, there are disturbingly strong parallels in them with Rosicrucianism theosophy, including Alice Bailey's teachings. Remember Alice Bailey, the occultist who wrote the 24 volumes of the New Age? Even Russian occultist George Gurdjieff. Robertson's law of reciprocity sounds amazingly like Gurdjieff's law of reciprocal maintenance. This is metaphysics. And back to E.W. Kenyon, the forefather of faith theology, wrote, "We are dealing with the basic laws of man's being, the great spiritual laws that govern the unseen forces of life." Kenyon espouses deism, the metaphysical worldview that the universe is governed by impersonal spiritual laws rather than a personal sovereign God. Many of these plants in the church are simply mind-controlled altars who have been taught in the dark arts. They've also been trained as soldiers. Alternate personalities are part of a deliberate plan by Satan to have slaves in the end-time satanic army. We often think of mind control as a tactic, but what mind control really is are spirits, and often these spirits wreak havoc on the mind. Thought life is where these spirits attack. There's a powerful family of spirits called mind occult demons, and they're closely related to mind control spirits. They seem to be even more powerful. Control, by the way, is witchcraft. Remember that. Let's see what it says in Revelation 18, verse 23. "For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by their sorceries were all nations deceived." The spirit of the Antichrist has been at work in the world since the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That spirit's main business is to defame, defeat, and destroy the purity, the power, and the purpose of Jesus Christ. It's against Christ. Anything that's not Christ is Antichrist. The Antichrist spirit is defiling the hearts of many apostate Christians even now. They're blinded by the desires of living in a materialistic world, this world of mammon. John writes, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And then if you go down a few verses, John is admonishing Christians that those who continue to extremely regard the things of this world above their love of Jesus, they've opened themselves up to the spirit of Antichrist. The Bible testifies to Jesus Christ, who alone grants eternal life. The Bible warns that Satan takes part in deceptions by acting like a minister of God. He also uses agents to seduce people and draw them into his kingdom. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It's not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness, well, their end will be what their actions deserve. Demons impersonate God in our thoughts. Religious spirits manifest themselves to people as an inner voice. They come as an angel of light, saying to some, "You're special. You're different from others. I'm giving you special knowledge, a special assignment." They flatter people with these enticing words, with spiritual pride. This is often how cults are born. Demons also impersonate the Holy Spirit, and they try to inflict a lot of guilt. So rather than bringing loving conviction, they pound with accusations of how worthless you are, how bad you are, you can never get it right. They torment with thoughts of turning from God and losing our salvation. Demons work very hard to bring judgment and hatred into the lives of people by showing them the faults of others. And demons work on the mind. They can control the mind. They bring oppression and depression. They suggest suicide. "Oh, I'd be better off dead. No one cares if I die anyway." Or they'll be sorry when I die. "Hey, why not just drive my car head on into this oncoming traffic? What is the point of this life anyway? Life is just too hard," etc. They implant and impersonate our own thoughts. Fear is the opposite of faith, it says in 2 Timothy 1:7. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Mind controllers use the spirit of fear to bring trauma, which will open the doorway of the mind to bring demons into the victim. The spirit of fear becomes the gatekeeper of the mind. And our thought life is really important. Words can and will shape your world. For instance, hoping to paralyze the victim into inactivity, demons will engraft words such as, "Your God can't help you," "I will destroy you," or "I am just too powerful for you to fight." Satan gets an advantage when he seeks to bring your mind and will into subjection to his kingdom through lies and deception. When we are aware of these tactics, we will be more discerning when these attacks come to us. These attacks are much more deceptive than they appear. The fact that they have manifested in our thoughts makes them very personal. We're used to letting our thoughts lead us. We want to make sure our thoughts are lining up with the Word of God. Remember, look at the challenge of the Word of God in 1 John 4:1-3. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." And isn't it funny? Again, it mentions in the bottom of that verse, "And this is that spirit of Antichrist, wherefore ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in this world." This is a battle for the mind and will. There is a spiritual battle for every soul. The byway to self-godhood, as the New Agers teach, is man evolving to his higher self so that he will be acceptable to the higher dimensional reality. The spiritual warfare is revealed in Ephesians 6:12. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, and spiritual forces of wickedness in the high places. Who or whatever you yield your mind, flesh, and spirit to is what your lifestyle will be. The devil's battlefield is your mind. You either control your mind and protect it, or the devil controls a part of it or all of your mind. The Christian mind should be under the blood of Jesus. Demons simply occupy places in the mind. The powers of darkness are organized in a hierarchy of, again, these rulers, principalities, powers, and spiritual forces of evil. Demons are supernatural beings. You could say disembodied spirits, but they have knowledge. They have emotion, self-awareness, and an ability to speak. They can utilize the mind, the body, and the spirit of a person. The Bible shows that demons are supernatural spirit beings. The demon's primary object is to rob, kill, and destroy you, causing a loss of peace and harmony. Demons are able to introduce greed, misfortune, suspicion, anxiety, confusion, and much more into human life. Demons have the ability to reduce people to slavery. They can entice, enslave, defile, torment, harass, compel, seduce, confuse, and drive a person. They always pervert that which is of God. Do you know that demons can block the mind's electric circuits, causing a blurred reality? Controllers or handlers can also use hypnotism and demonology as well. They can place various demons into a victim's mind. Like a computer, the mind controller inserts codes into each new demonic personality to call them up and then to instruct them to do certain things. I'll talk about triggers later, but the purpose of the handler is to create new personalities of a mind-controlled slave. Mind control programming is a system that different personalities can be created and layered into the subject's mind. Deliverance ministers call these alters demons. These alters, who do not know each other, can take control of the body at different times. Many handlers are simply people who usually have a double life. They do work with demonic powers over their children through the use of verbal and physical abuse and even sexual abuse. This, of course, causes great trauma and fear over the children. Today, we are seeing controllers and handlers being used in government, businesses, churches, schools, universities, the whole world of Hollywood, movies, television, music, entertainment, and they work in concert to turn masses of people from Jesus to the devil. Listen, Satan has tremendous control over his captives. He can control them completely in some cases. So these programs and mind controllers are working with demonic supernatural powers. In the media, you see a lot of access codes, colors, story schemes, pictures. This is all mind control, using certain gestures, eye winks, eye blinks, hand signals, body gestures, certain words, code words, you know, certain taps, sounds, technological things like sounds, almost like in Morse code, certain lights done in code, headlight flashes, recorded messages left on answering machines, telephone tones, certain lights, certain patterns, keys, business cards, certain tokens or statues, sights, signs, certain colors. And then, of course, there's the spiritual side of it, astral projection, telepathy, soul travel, human spirits, literally, that astral project. And then, of course, the entry into the fantasy and world of witchcraft can be enhanced through drugs, especially hallucinogenic types. Talked a little bit about LSD. There's a lot of drugs very effective in transporting a person through the spirit world that are highly sought after by occultists. Another avenue that occultists can enter into the illusionary world is through psychotherapy, hypnotic visualization, forms of hypnosis. Even children are being instructed through visualization techniques through public schools. This is being practiced starting from kindergarten and first grade, and even in some cases preschool, and it carries on into college. These witchcraft practices are also being implemented during recess times under the guise of relaxation techniques. I want to talk for a minute about hypnosis. The word hypnosis is derived from the Greek word hypnos, meaning sleep. Hypnotism is a means of bringing on an artificial state of sleep to the participant more accurately described as a state of reduced consciousness while one is awake. You know, you got to understand, it's a very serious matter to entrust yourselves over to another person. Even if you trust someone, the hypnotized person comes under the will and the bidding of the hypnotizer. Have you ever been to one of those ravine when you were young or in school or any time in your life? If you were ever involved in hypnotism in any way, shape, or form, we have a great deliverance show that we did on hypnotism. You're going to want to get deliverance from that for sure. So again, the hypnotized person comes under the will and the bidding of the hypnotizer. Your will is essentially neutralized and can be suggested to believe and do whatever is asked by the hypnotizer. Our control is completely subjugated to the will of the hypnotizer, and they can affect the mind as well as the body. Putting yourself in a hypnotic state is yielding yourself to a vulnerable position. Some wonder, well, can a hypnotist cause the subject to do something against his will? Well, a lot of hypnotists claim that the will cannot be violated, but you know what? This is completely untrue. Hypnotism is nothing new. It's been used for thousands of years by witch doctors and shaman spirit mediums alike. It's always been a very powerful tool of the occult. They also, in addition to hypnosis, use drugs, meditation, and visualization. Anytime we interfere and change the normal brain pattern, we bring ourselves into an altered state of consciousness. And, if radical enough, in touch with the spiritual realm. Again, meditation, remember transcendental meditation? Or TM, as it's called. Transcendental meditation is a form of silent mantra meditation. It was developed by Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. Beginning in 1965, the transcendental meditation technique has been incorporated into schools, universities, corporations, and prison programs in the United States, Latin America, Europe, and India, really all over the world. It's really Eastern mysticism and Vedic Hinduism is what it is. Over its 50-year history, the technique has had high visibility in the mass media and effective global propagation and used celebrity and scientific endorsements as a marketing tool. In 1970, the so-called science of creative intelligence became the claimed theoretical basis for transcendental meditation. Well, here's what Katy Perry says about when she does transcendental meditation. It feels like a halo is ignited around my head, and it's like I'm clearing out the cobwebs. I notice when I do this that my whole brain kind of opens up. My neural pathways become ignited. It is some of the most incredible stillness. Perry said that TM helped her cope with anxiety and it boosts her creativity. Oh, I'm sure that it is. And Perry isn't the only one raving about transcendental meditation. The secret to Harry Styles' Eternal Sunshine, Hugh Jackman's sense of purpose, Ray Dalio's success, and Jerry Seinfeld's energy, if you ask them all, it's transcendental meditation, and many other celebrities are in it. Well, here's what a doctor says about what transcendental meditation does to the brain. He says no one knows exactly how transcendental meditation affects the brain, but research is showing that repeating a meaningless mantra, meaningless really, can precipitate a particular kind of brainwave, alpha brainwaves. And by the way, Maharishi, the founder of transcendental meditation, remember he spent a lifetime spreading TM after he became an international phenom after teaching the Beatles how to meditate. And you know, isn't that just the way society is? You know, they say more Americans are looking for a little peace of mind in an increasingly frenzied and stressful world. So then, of course, in comes things like transcendental meditation and yoga. Do you know how much yoga has risen substantially, for sure, in the last couple decades? Rooted in Buddhism and Eastern mysticism and Vedic Hinduism. And for a lot more on this subject on yoga, please see the link below as I talk about yoga and kundalini. And let me tell you something, that is straight out of the pit of hell. But all these nice, again, seemingly benevolent practices, because, you know, we just know that Americans are looking for a little peace of mind in an increasingly frenzied and stressful world. Don't be fooled Christians? Is it shocking that the number one Christian devotional is steeped in the occult? Not surprising, is it, really, when you put all these pieces together? Do you know that occultist Edgar Cayce used self-hypnosis to enter a trance state? This is the same state mediums go into to contact the dead. Or when clairvoyants or divinators, remember, they receive information from demons. They open themselves up to this. They don't know this stuff by natural means. Sophisticated mind control technologies like hypnotism, transcendental meditation, MKUltra, social engineering, and much more, it is very dangerous. These same brainwashing technologies are used to develop all these media personalities, like I told you before, these Manchurian media personalities that dominate the radio, the television, the internet, the big screen, all of Hollywood, and of course, even in the church world. So in the next part, part three, I really want to get into Project Monarch, which is going to be very interesting and so much more. That's in part three. So we'll stop here for today. Make sure that you are following me on social media and make sure you are subscribed to my YouTube channel. Stay on top of this series. Go over to SheilaZelinsky.com and make sure that you are subscribed to my e-newsletter. And when a new video comes out, you'll get an alert as well. Thank you so much for listening to the show today, and we'll see you real soon. Good night and God bless.